I'd like to speak this morning, and we've got the young uns in. I hope they're going to listen. Big crowd. I'm going to keep my little eye on you over there, because you're all sitting over there, and I'm going to keep a little beady eye on you lot. I'm going to talk about baptism, and what is baptism, and why do we do it? Turn around, Ed. That's it. It's a word that we use in the church, and it's a direct translation. And if what it means is to be covered, immersed, submerged, you know, if you want to clean something, you'd put something, you'd dunk it. That's the kind of meaning it has. Maybe if you were dyeing cloth, you would soak it, you'd leave it in the whatever you were baptizing it in. You'd put the cloth in to dye it, you'd soak it. Some vegetables, you might soak them in whatever you're putting them in to maybe clean them, but you would submerge them in the water. Or you might submerge them to remove bitterness if they had some veggies. So you baptize them, you submerge them. Some things you preserve by putting them in vinegar, and you just leave it in submerged, okay? And that permeates whatever it is, or cleans, permeates, covers baptism, okay? So why baptize, right? Well, let's have a little look. Why baptize? Strange thing to do, eh? Well, in Matthew 3, let's have a little read of this. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt round his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. So they confessed their sins. They were baptized in the river. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But when John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. So that's one place. And So John was baptizing in this river. People were coming out to him, and he was saying, "You've got to repent." Now, in Luke, he gives a list of things that people asked him. So in Luke 3, if I can find it, shouldn't be too hard. Maybe it's not. Is that it? Yeah. He went out into the country around Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Okay, for the forgiveness of sins. And then he warns the disciples. And then down in 10 they say, "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "The man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same." Tax collectors also came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. It's like a bit like the Sermon on the Mount, isn't it? It was because he was telling them to change their ways and stop cheating and stop taking advantage of other people. Then the soldiers asked him, "What should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." He didn't say get out of the army. He said, accept what you paid and get on with life, but don't cheat. And so he was given a list of behavior to the people that were coming out. If they asked him, "What should we do?" Because it's easy to say, "I'm sorry. And just carry on as per normal." And then the next, "I'm sorry." He was saying, change your ways. Repent. Repent is to change our attitude and change the way we are. It's not just saying, it is saying sorry, but it isn't just saying sorry. It is changing your direction. And when these people came out to him, he was saying, "I baptize you for the forgiveness of sins, but change your ways. Make a new start from today. When you come into this water, we're going to make a new start." And it's called a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So when they came out, he was saying, change your ways and your sins shall be forgiven. Now then, in John, because looking at this, you think, I wonder why Jesus came out to get baptized. Did he have to change his ways? Did he need baptizing? Why did John go out to get baptized when, we say, well, John, why did Jesus go out to get baptized when, didn't need it? And so 1 John, I think it's verse, John 1, sorry. I think it's verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. This is because he's out there baptizing, see? So people were always coming out. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And that's very important there, because here was the Lamb of God coming to get baptized. Very odd. And he is God's gift to humanity to take away the sin. And earlier on I just said that people were going into this water and he was removing their sin. And Jesus comes along and he identifies with the sin of mankind at this point. Jesus is coming and he goes down into that water, and this is why righteousness has to be done, because Jesus is taking on the sin of the world. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So Jesus is the answer to this phrase. The Lamb of God comes down, he identifies with humanity, he identifies with the sin of the world, and so he is actually the fulfillment of this baptism. Baptism without Jesus would actually be quite meaningless. And so Jesus comes into this water, and at this point he is saying, he is making a statement of intent. His mission is about to start. His mission is to come and take the sin of the world. And it starts when he goes down to this water. He is drawing a line saying, I'm making a start. And this is the beginning. The flag is raised. He is proclaiming to the world, to principalities and powers, that he has arrived and his mission has started. And after this, he goes out. He is tempted. He teaches. He heals. And then he is crucified. But it starts at this point. So Jesus goes down in to say, my mission has started. I'm about to start this, and I'm going to take away the sin of those who are showing repentance. Because those that have gone into the water, they're identifying with him. He identifies with them. And Jesus dies in our place at the end. And he rose as our example. So Jesus goes into the water. He identifies with the sin. He identifies with humanity. He identifies with death for our place. Should we get baptized? What about us? Well, yeah, we should. We're told to. And why should we get baptized? Well, being baptized is the way that we are witnessing to those that are looking at us, are witnessing to those around us, that we are repenting of our sins, and we're changing our ways, we're changing our attitudes, we're changing our behavior. It's a mark of intent. We are making a new start. We're drawing a line. Like Jesus made that mission start by getting baptized, we are saying, I am making a start. I am following Jesus. I want Jesus to take away my sin. And I identify with Jesus because Jesus went in to take away the sin. If I go in there with him, he takes away my sin. So when we go into that water, we are asking, we are showing that we want Jesus to take away our sin. And we are saying sorry. We are changing. The Israelites back there, they really understood that going through the water was a sign of making a new start. Because when they were in Egypt, living in the comfort of Egypt, they went to leave Egypt, they had to go through a sea. And they had to go through this sea to make a new start. And they had to make this decision, either go back or go through the sea. And that was a new start for them. And it was an act of faith and an act of deliverance, really. And they went through that sea. And when they went into the promised land, they had to go, although they didn't have to go under the water, thankfully. They went through on dry land. We have to go in the water. And when they went into the promised land, they also went through the water. They had to go through a flooded river to get into the promised land. And they went through on dry ground again. And they had to take, they had to make an act of faith and commitment to get into the promised land. And this is very much what baptism speaks to us of. It's a statement of intent. It's a witness to principalities, powers, and people around us that we want to follow Jesus. It is us saying, changing our ways and having our sin washed away. But not by the water, but by Jesus. That's the important thing. It's not the water that's doing anything here. It's symbolic. It's all symbolic. It's not going in. The water doesn't change our life. It will change us if God acts within that point. But it's not the water, it's what Jesus has done that's going to make any significance. So when we get baptized, we are identifying with Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Savior. that he takes away the sin. We identify with his mission, especially his death. When we go down into the water, that represents us dying to our own life and dying with him. And when we come back up, it's us rising up with Jesus, because Jesus rose from the dead. So that little act of obedience, of going into that water, is us identifying with Jesus, just as Jesus identified with us when he went into the water. We are acknowledging what Jesus has done, and we are accepting what Jesus has done for us. If we accept Jesus as our Savior, we should get baptized. So if we want to say that Jesus is my Savior, that I want to follow him, that I want to accept him, we should say, yes, I want to be baptized. I want to show that I want to follow him. I want to have Jesus take away my sin. So when should we get baptized? Keeps Dad happy anyway. Well, really, I would say when we understand this. When we understand all I've said. When we understand that we are sinners. When we understand that we have no hope without Jesus. When we understand that we need to be rescued, we should be baptized. When we are, you know, when we are old enough to understand, or when we are able to understand, it could have something to do with age, and it could have something to do with just understanding. Do you see what I mean? When the penny drops. Yes, we have to understand that we're a sinner. When we understand and we know that we need saving, do you know we are lost without Jesus? We are lost. We have no hope. And that when we realize that he is the answer, that's when we get baptized. When we are able to say, yes, I want this, I'm willing to accept this, then we get baptized. When we want to say, I want to follow Jesus. When we are willing to repent and change our ways. If we want to get baptized to say, I'm a Christian, but we are not willing to change our ways, that isn't repentance. Repentance is changing. You might not just change overnight, and you might, but you have to be willing to go in God's direction, yeah? So you have to be willing to say, yes, I want this. And when we get baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're getting baptized into the will of God and the love of God. We are getting baptized into all that he wants for us. And we are saying, I want to submit myself to your will, Father. Yeah? That's we're getting baptized into God the Father. Into his will, not my will. We want to put God into our life. God, what do you want? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? It's a case of coming under him. Into the Son. We get baptized into Jesus. We're asking for forgiveness. And we're asking him to save us. So we're getting baptized into him, Jesus, because he is the only way of salvation. He is the only one that can take our sin away. We are getting baptized into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit helps us to grow. The Holy Spirit guides us. We are getting baptized into the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. He cleanses us. He changes us, he convicts us, and he guides us. So when we get baptized in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, we are completely given over to God for his love, his guidance, his forgiveness, and his cleansing. And it's God who does it. It's not the water. The water is just symbolic, and it symbolizes various different things as we go down into the water. But we are showing people this is where we are. What about where do we get baptized? Well, I'm just going to look at Acts. I've got a little story to read in Acts. There's lots of stories, actually, but I have to find it. I have to read it out of the book. Acts 8, 26. Right. Okay, just to finish with, in Acts 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem, to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot. I think it was one of these, when they say chariot, it was just like a convoy of goods, and they were just going along at walking pace. And I don't know whether it was pulled by a horse or whether they were being carried, but they were just trundling along nice and steady. And Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Well, look, he believed just like that. He was just going along in the chariot, and he accepted this. And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Yeah. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip. It's all right. In the other translation, it says, "Do you believe with all your heart?" And then he says yes, and he baptizes him. So that's what I was looking for. It didn't say it in this one. But yes, if you believe that Jesus is the Savior with all your heart, you accept this, then I know for many of you, you know, we've been baptized, so it's not. But for some, it's a way to show that we want to follow Jesus, that we want to show people around us, yes, I am changing my ways and I want to follow on. And I do know this, that Michael's asked to be baptized, so hopefully now he knows what it's about.
Can I ask a question quick?
Yeah, go on, Ed. It can be, yes. It'll be like, you know, do you renounce evil, or depending on what background, or are you changing your ways, or do you believe in Jesus? You know, it's putting it all in a nutshell, so that you're witnessing to all these people. There'll be people watching you, and you're saying, "Yes, I'm changing and I'm following Jesus." Yeah, and that's it. See, that's what you're saying, And you're witnessing to people, as like we take the bread and the wine, we are witnessing to people, we are proclaiming that we are part of a family, and because of Jesus. When we are baptized, we are proclaiming, yes, I'm going to be part of this family. I want Jesus to save me. And that's it. And that's what we do. And so there comes a point in your life where you take that step. And so Michael is going to, hopefully, get baptized at camp. But it's something to, if you haven't been baptized and you do want to say, I want to proclaim this to people, I want to follow Jesus, come and have a chat at some point and we'll see what we can do. Don't do it all in emotion, but just do it. Yes, think about it. Yes, I want to proclaim that I want to follow Jesus to people around me. But that's what it means.